Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. We're actually all in here live today, so we won't be having any phone fun. That'll take away, you know, some of the excitement.
You weren't live last week?
No, we weren't here.
Oh, remember? That's right. Yeah, okay.
We weren't live.
Bill wasn't live last week either.
Yeah. Okay.
He just forgot.
Yeah, that was it.
Bill was in suspended animation. So my name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And you can find everything about us at wethepeopleradio.us. We have archives dating back almost 10 years, believe it or not.
I
mean, I have to put
Where's
a search.
Time gone?
I got to put a search function on the archives. I went to look for an old show, and it's like, oh, we just had that guy on, like you, Tom. We had you on. It was 2014. Like, are you kidding me?
Wow,
it's a generation ago. So, anything about sponsorship, all that good stuff. Literally, the archives are terrific, and I've been doing things on the website. If you go to wethepeopleradio.us, I have tabs up there for South Africa, China. We'll be going back doing some things on China either next week or the week after. Environmental, nuttiness, marijuana. And so I'm trying to group the show so it makes it a little easier if you're topic-oriented. If you have suggestions for me, I'd be happy for those. You can find all of our information, emails, cell phone numbers. We were hiding right out in the open there. We haven't even been banned by Twitter. I guess we're nobodies.
I know. We're definitely not speaking out enough.
I was talking to somebody yesterday who said they hadn't posted anything on Twitter in like a year, put one thing on there and got banned. I'm like, wow.
Oh,
I'm
there
not,
you go.
I'm obviously not trying. So our guest today is Dr. Tom Andrews, who is my work neighbor. And so we thought in light of all the things that are going on, it would be fun to have a psychiatrist come and talk to us, an actual real psychiatrist, not somebody who stayed at a Holiday Inn Express like us. And he has been practicing here in Reading for 38 years, graduated from Loma Linda University of Medicine in 1979. We're kind of contemporaries. I graduated high school that year, so I wasn't obviously
That's
doing...
close.
At least you can feel a lot younger.
I wasn't doing anything. I was working at Winchell's then. You were a psychiatrist. Oh, how far we've all come. Bill, what were you doing in 1979?
79, I think I
Can
was.
Can you remember that?
I was working on farm equipment.
Oh my gosh, not much has changed.
No.
Huh. No. Ashley's in there laughing. Oh yeah, Ashley, what were you doing? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was born in 88.
Yeah, I know.
I was waiting. That makes us all feel very old.
I knew we were due for a smackdown. I just thought we should have it on air. Oh my goodness. Okay, well that was the fun part of the show. Now,
we have more fun.
Now on to the, yeah, I know. Well, actually we can't help it. We have to goof around a little bit. But in light of the recent events, you know, with the shootings and different things like that, there's a whole lot of talk from a lot of people on television who are really unqualified to discuss the subject. And it's just frustrating that you have to listen to all these guys, you know, well, you know what I think it is. And then, of course, you know, I have the need to watch CNN and MSLSD and all the rest of it, which just frustrates me even further. So here on August the 11th, 2019, we're going to air this live, but I'm sure we'll replay it at some point. That's the backdrop for what we're doing. So we had the shooting in Texas, and we had another one in Ohio. And then some other guy showed up at a Walmart with a gun but didn't do anything.
And we had the Garlic Festival.
Oh, we had the Garlic Festival. That's right. That's right, where that guy had illegal magazines. So obviously making those illegal didn't help us there. Huh, what a surprise. So from your point of view, what's it look like to you as you're watching the news? You see it from a whole different angle.
Well, isn't it interesting that we've had all these shootings in spurts? Part of the reason is, I believe, that people see the news and they see these events. And these are many times what we say disenfranchised individuals that suffer from some
Sure.
issues such as emotional problems. And this is one way of certainly getting attention, isn't it?
And yeah, so, and do you so want a little notoriety?
Do it in notoriety, making yourself have some value to you that you don't feel much value of. I know that lately what we're hearing is it's mentally ill people doing this, and certainly someone would say, well, you've got to be a little crazy, right, to try and shoot up people, right?
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's a mental illness.
So when you hear that, is that frustrating? Or
it's a little frustrating because if you really look at the severely psychotic, mentally ill that might be involved in shootings, it's like really only about 5%.
Yeah.
And it's a very limited number. And if we were to remove them from the shootings, you'd still have 96% of the shootings in the United States.
Oh, 5% of all the shootings?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, you know, I was hearing that same number this morning. They were saying if it was a
mental
person
that got
94%.
Yeah. 94% would still be there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so much for that.
So much for that idea, right? And yet the latest surveys, people feel that if mentally ill people had received treatment, 57% feel that we would have far less shootings, you know, in a large way. But I believe that certainly the mental health issue is an issue in our society. I mean, you've got 40% of the counties in the United States without a psychiatrist.
Really?
Yes.
How many?
40%.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And you've got 38,000, almost 39,000 psychiatrists in the country. And
they're
concentrated.
Is that a lot or a little?
Well, it's a fair number.
Seems like a lot of people.
It's a fair number. It should cover a lot of counties.
But they live in cities.
But they live in cities and concentrated areas. So it makes it harder for the mentally ill to receive the treatment. And it says 43% of adults in the United States who have mental health condition aren't getting treatment.
Well, yeah. If you look at our homeless population, I mean, I would think that probably a large percentage of those folks have mental health problems, and you know, it goes back to what do you do with those? I mean, you know, they couldn't walk into your office and get treated. I mean, somebody has to pick up the bill on treating these people.
That's right.
And what do we do there?
You know, and I think another thing is another statistic I thought was interesting. It says that people who have serious mental health disorders, they're 3.6% likely to do more aggressive acts, violent behavior in the serious mentally ill. But they're 23 times as likely to be perpetrated against.
Oh, okay.
So they're more likely to be a victim than to victimize.
I believe that. Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. See, I had a feeling we were being lied to. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
The volume.
Yes.
No fooling.
Yeah, fooling. So this is this, you know, we like to think that anyone who kills someone has a mental illness, you know. And in fact, Philip Resnick, who was a forensic psychiatrist for Timothy McVeigh and for the Unabomber, he said in an interview that you have to remember people kill for all sorts of reasons. And they kill for profit, love, or greed, too. So, you know, you can't help but see on the news, Chicago, what, 7 deaths in one weekend, 59 injuries. Baltimore just had 6 murders this weekend. So there's, in a sense, mass shootings in every city every Saturday night.
Right.
Right.
And every Friday
night. Some cities have them every weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and mass shootings, anything more than 3 people.
I was just going to ask you that. What's the criteria? Because somebody said we've had 250 mass shootings this year, and I was like, what exactly are we considering a mass shooting? Because I'm thinking
3 or more.
School bus full, not
so
children.
So let's say you
like
caught
50 or 40.
You
or
caught
something.
Your spouse with someone else, you kill them too, and then you kill yourself. That's a
mass shooting. Oh, really? Okay.
In fact, they call it familicide. Familicide and suicide are common. You'll hear the stories of, you know, shoot the mother-in-law, the wife, and the father-in-law, and then he kills himself. You know,
yeah. And that counts as a quote-unquote mass shooting.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be a whole big giant chunk of people.
No.
Well, that's kind of screwed up.
Yeah.
And then what's it?
I wonder who's in charge of that.
I don't know if you know the answer to this. What about politically motivated shootings? I mean, is that something that's really? I mean, when we look at the guy that shot up the church. The kid.
What about the guy who shot Steve Scalise?
Yeah, Steve Scalise.
At baseball play, you know.
That was a baseball field. That was politically motivated.
Yeah. So that's obviously on the uptick as well. Then you had the Las Vegas shooter.
What was his deal?
Yeah, I don't really quite understand.
They have never divulged the details of that. It's been sealed. You haven't been able to hear that.
Oh, that would explain why we just
don't
sort
know
of
much.
Disappeared,
yes,
actually,
it did,
from view. Okay, so we don't know what that guy's deal was.
Yeah, there were some suspicions, and I've heard things on the internet. I wouldn't want to perpetuate some stories that we don't know are true or not, but there apparently
We're only going to talk truth, connection. True smack today, yeah. not just smack.
Yeah. There could be connections. They said that maybe the Saudi prince was visiting there. There were some issues there. Who knows? Oh. There was just some interesting, serendipitous.
There was a lot of strange things around that one.
No fooling.
But but the issue is, I think was, they say that, let's say it said just the mentally ill, but the people who might be more prone to the shooting are those who've had a history of domestic violence and those who've had a history of substance abuse.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And so those are areas that
you need to be aware of. So just out of curiosity, we do have to take a little break here, but just to not forget the point. Okay, if you're a substance abuser and you commit a crime like that and you also have some emotional, mental issues, are you considered mentally ill, or is that just chalked up to substance abuse?
It would depend on the identification of other symptoms a person's
had. I'm kind of curious about that part. Maybe we can talk about that when we get done.
Okay.
Because a lot of these things, you know, like you'll hear the person was a drunk driver, but then it turns out they were smoking pot. So a lot of the statistics for marijuana-related deaths go down as drunk driving because they choose that substance over the other. Anyway, you're listening to We the People. We are going to chat about this the whole show today, so I hope you stick with us. You can find everything about us at wethepeopleradio.us.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them? You're a part of Crack-A-Punk's palace. Do what the rest don't do. Or face the fact that Crack-A-Punk's palace may have no other choice than to deport you.
Okay, so back to Crack-A-Punk's palace, as it were. So you were going to tell us the distinction between, if there's a crime committed and someone, and they have multiple factors, how do they decide what they call it or what it's termed as? Because it skews the statistics, obviously.
Right.
A lot.
It does. I think the question is, there's commonly held misconceptions that mass shootings are, done by seriously mentally ill. And the people with serious mental illness should be considered dangerous.
That's true.
That's kind of a thing they do. And that somehow gun laws focus on mental illness with psychiatric conditions that, psychiatrists reporting these people or someone else reporting these people will somehow reduce the incidence of these crimes. And there's that has not proven true. Mass shootings, we talked about psychiatric mass shootings. When we mentioned that 3% number, it's actually the representation of total deaths by guns. It's only 1%.
Yeah.
It's only 1%.
And all the talk is about mental health.
Mental health. It's good that we're talking mental health because we do need to have that.
But it seems
– To blame.
It just seems like a the idea that, someone does something, right? And they wind up getting to be your patient. That then suddenly they have, it almost reminds me of like the flags on bicycles, the big tall flags, so we can see them everywhere. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to flag those people because then we're going to stop them before they do something. I mean, how many of these cases?
Really, you can't do that.
You don't treat all these people, but just ballpark from 38 years of experience, how many of those people do you think you could have anticipated that this was their eventual route?
At the time, you're 50-50. I mean, you really aren't able to predict
it any
better
than someone
else.
Going to do in the
exactly,
future.
Exactly.
Well, and I would hazard to guess that in your 40 years of practice.
It's 38.
I'm around.
I'm feeling older.
You probably never treated anyone that did anything like this. I mean, it's not that common to have a mentally ill person being treated that does a mass shooting.
I like it when you're in the studio because then we can see the facial expression. Spoiler alert, he's making faces.
Well, I've had a couple people that were victimized by our government by mass shootings, which I would call mass shootings, which was the David Koresh,
sure.
Waco, Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, true.
They were survivors. They jumped out of the windows and survived.
Oh, wow.
And so they, you know, they talked about that. So, and we've had other cases where there was no shooting involved, but we were able to help a person who was being kind of in a room, someone holding a weapon on them, and they were able to give it up.
Right.
But the local constabulary force said, you go in the first, we're right behind you.
Well, thanks for that.
Thanks.
You know, I've had them do that to me, too.
Yeah, you go in first.
Yeah, you go in and save everything.
They empty
okay.
out the swimming pool behind the office, but everyone...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay, so if you had a patient, yeah. I mean, just by way of what's actually legal, okay? So you are dealing with people who have a variety of issues. Right. I mean, it could be super small. I mean, it's big for them, but small in the scope of things. But let's say you are treating someone you think, wow, this person's, you know, talking, maybe they're talking about doing something bad like that. You can't turn them over to law enforcement. Yeah, they haven't done anything.
In a sense, you could with the Tarasoff ruling, which is an old.
What is it?
The Tarasoff rule, which is where a psychologist didn't turn over someone. I think it was UC Berkeley. He was supposed to have turned over someone to the police to tell them this person was going to shoot his girlfriend.
Because he came in and said he was going to
do that, and he didn't do it. And so there was a legal case, so now they basically call it the Tarasoff ruling, where you're required to notify authorities if someone is making a verbal threat or intent to do harm to someone.
But doesn't that...
But that's different. It's different than predicting someone just because they're depressed or hearing voices and having these experiences, but they're not saying to you, I plan to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, but at that point, you can't even predict.
Even if they say they're going to do it, okay, so you're their doctor, and you think, well, gee, you know, I can't really keep this under wraps. So you call, make that report. Police can't arrest people for things that they say.
It's kind of like, what do they call it, thought police? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like Minority Report?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you're anticipated thought crime.
Yep.
Right.
We think you're going to do something bad. We're going to come and arrest you. Yeah, we can't do that.
Well, with a law like that, too, I think you run the risk that they're not going to say anything if they know they're going to get turned in, so they'll just keep that part to themselves.
And you can't.
Let's not go see Dr. Andrews because he might. Right. Yeah.
Say
yeah,
that to us.
Report
and there's also this talk of, well, we're going to report. This is more in the previous administration, wasn't it? They were going to have us, people, if they weren't competent or, you know, certainly they can't.
Oh, right, fire. Right.
Yeah, but, neighbors.
But if they're coming and visiting you in the office, that they have to disclose when they purchase a firearm that they've been visiting psychiatrists or having some mental health issues.
That's right.
And then the psychiatrist was supposed to make that determination. I didn't realize that we were kind of like law enforcement now.
Right.
So
right.
You also had a crystal ball, too.
That was a problem.
Yeah, and a crystal ball. And I think that really, you know, I won't, pun intended, got shot down, but anyway.
Well, they also wanted GPs to report
exactly.
their patients if they were subscribing or prescribing
narcotics
or something. If they owned a gun, they
right.
turn them over to police.
Right.
Which again, they're making the doctor
law enforcement. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's not what we're there to do. We're there to help people in a different way. Obviously, we're helping society. If that was an imminent thing that was going to happen, and we knew it, of course we'd want to warn.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's something that we're trying to predict without any solid evidence, just because a person owns a handgun and happens to take OxyContin or owns a handgun and happens to see a psychiatrist, that's not...
it's not a crime.
That's not fair. It's
no.
not a crime.
No.
Huh. So if it was up to you, if you were the boss of it, from the psychiatry point of view, and you have these issues going on in the world, and they said, okay... You come and tell us, you know, Congress says, okay, you come and tell us where you think we should go from here. Is there is there a role, because obviously there is, but is there a role for prevention from you that would be a law?
A law. I'd have to look at the data and see what.
Yeah, because every case is.
There's every case different.
I'm just curious.
I think a law is, I think what we're looking for is to understand people who have these problems. What kind of problems? They tend to be disenfranchised people.
Mm-hmm.
They tend the early studies show they're people who have suffered childhood trauma, and they're people who have been abusing some substances, generally. And I think the third point was they also tend to have had a sense of social alienation. So those are the three things that seemed, and a previous history of some violent behavior.
Yeah, they had those same points on. I was listening this morning, and the childhood trauma and a propensity for violence were two of the biggies. They said
and
every
abuse.
One of them had in common.
Right, and substance abuse.
And substance abuse,
right.
Yeah.
Because that really, you know, substance abuse cuts off the forebrain from, mm-hmm. you know, thinking and determining the consequences of one's actions.
Right.
And if you cut that off with a drug,
right.
then you don't anticipate what the
right.
outcome will be.
And a propensity for violence, I think, is really a big one, too, because these are the people that fly off the handle and don't mm-hmm. think about their actions
That's right.
before they do it.
That's right.
And how do you legislate against that?
Well, see, that's the thing. So everybody's calling Congress and saying, you need to make a law to make this stop. But
what exactly is that going to look like? You know, you
can't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're fringing on or you're creeping up on taking people's rights away from them for no reason.
Right.
You know,
and then are we, which I want to talk about next hour would be, are we getting into mind control? Are we getting into society control? Thought police.
Mm-hmm.
And what has our government done in the past?
Well, and if we were good at being thought police. Well, great, let's use it. Yeah. But I think we all know that we're not good at that.
Not very good at it, is right.
I mean, most people can't even read their own, you know. Look at how many people, they have families. All these folks have families. And you see friends and family who said, well, this person seemed like they were dangerous, but a lot of times they say, no, they seem perfectly fine.
That's right. the neighbors would say, hey, I didn't know Joe was like that. So it's interesting. But, I think that if we, like I said, the sad truth, you know, it's easy to get a gun in our country, and that's a good truth, I mean, but it's a sad truth that, you know, you can't control all that. And yet, should we control that? I think people have a right to bear arms because to prevent tyranny, to prevent, it's not for hunting, it's for preventing tyranny. So that's why we have, more guns than people in the United States, and the mm-hmm. second country
By
to that,
mile.
I think, is the Falkland Islands in the Western Hemisphere, and then Yemen. In the other hemisphere, where it's about 52 out of 100 people have guns, 52 guns for every 100 people.
Well, and are the statistics in our country, in your profession, significantly different than around the world? Do you look at that much?
Regarding the mental health
kids? Yeah, just in mental health in general, not necessarily people who, you know.
Well, one condition probably, you know, is hitting our modern society, which is, I call it narcissism. It's a sense of where you have the right over someone else's mm-hmm. right. You have the idea that it's you come first, the other person second. Pablo Picasso said it, this is how he treated women. He says, you're either goddesses or doormats. And mm-hmm. and that's a typical narcissist
right.
kind of attitude.
You know, that's a topic I wanted to talk about. Let's go.
Picasso or narcissist?
The narcissist, yeah, because we're hearing more and more about that.
True. And they throw that around a lot.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They do. So let's
take a swift break. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind the drugstores sell. When you reach the part where the heartaches come, the hero would be me. The hero often fails. You won't read that book again because the ending just too hard to take.
Yeah, you probably should make that the theme song for your office. The If I Could Read Your Mind.
I love it.
If I could read your mind, you wouldn't need this appointment card. little tagline on the top. Yes, it's fun. Good.
Hey, we were talking about narcissism.
For the special patients.
It would also put psychics out of business.
It's true. That'd be a deal breaker.
So if a narcissist, let's talk a little bit more about that. Are you born a narcissist or can you become a narcissist? Is that a something you achieve?
There's a book by F. Scott.
We all have goals.
By F. Scott. Yes.
We all have
goals. It's kind of connected.
It's on my bucket list.
It's F. Scott Peck. He's got this book, People That Lie. And basically it tells the story of narcissistic disorders and how they treat their kids and almost perpetuate this kind of behavior.
Oh.
It's a very demeaning life of how a person his needs emotionally are not met and how are they are minimized. They're put in a way that the individual feels that he has no value. And then he has to seek value. In order to seek value, he minimizes other people's value and continues.
Got to step on them in order to be taller.
That's it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's the American pathology really is narcissism. I used to tell my wife, when I was getting out of residency and child psychiatry, I said, you know, we've gone from neurosis to narcissism. Neurosis is the idea that, oh, you know, I must be doing something wrong. I've got to fix that. And someone's going to think something of me if I don't do it this way. And you're constantly trying to make up for some.
You're like nitpicking yourself.
You're nitpicking yourself, perceived threat of your own identity, constantly second guessing. So, we go from this quality of that to narcissism, which is, I don't give a rip about you. By the way, get out of my way. I'm taking a selfie. You know,
right.
Oh,
kind of attitude. Yeah. I'll never forget. I was talking to one of my ex-employers, and she said to me, she remembers going in this. I said, well, that's a nice picture you took there. And she says, yeah, that's a picture of Yosemite, yada, yada. And she says, yeah, I stood there all the half morning to get that picture. And all these people were yelling at me to get out of the way. But I wasn't going to get out of the way. I was going to get that picture.
Cheryl, you know we have a name for that. And it is an awesome photographer.
So, you know, I just said, enough said.
Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner.
Anyway, so you know. I hope
they're listening right now. They're like, finally, she's been exposed. I'm still mad about it.
It's just really incredible. But it's the change in character of mass shootings over the last decades. We've seen that people, like in 2007, the guy shot people in Omaha, Nebraska, and eventually suicided from it. He left a note that says, just think, I'm going to be famous.
Oh.
Yeah, that says it right there.
There it is. There you go.
So
and isn't another offender, the Columbine offenders, one of them pre-shooting video said, isn't it fun to get the respect we're going to deserve.
Ew.
There again. That's that level of narcissism we talked about.
So you just about have to be a little narcissistic to mm-hmm. do something like that.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're
yeah.
looking for, is that
yeah.
is that attention.
Exactly. One quote of another person says, I am right and I've been treated badly or wronged, implying by other people my whole life. And that's what I talked about, the people who lie.
Yeah.
You know, the parents mistreated them or someone mistreated them. And that's the child abuse we talk about, the other things.
Right.
And so the person feels that they've never been validated that they're right or that they have been – but that they have been mistreated. So to prove they've been mistreated, now they're going to do something that's just reversing of it. It's called the reversal of the injustice, of the injustice. So it's like – you know how revenge works? You know, I'm going to give you Count of Monte Cristo, the famous book.
Best circle.
That, yes, exactly.
Well, but you would think if you were a narcissist, you wouldn't want to die because you would think you were super important.
Yeah.
But I'm not a psychiatrist, so I guess it's just like, I mean.
So here's what but this is the other thing. They become the lone protector of an unjust reality.
Oh.
How's that sound?
That sounds like James Comey.
Right.
Sounds like
the lone protector.
Bad days for everybody else.
Exactly. And so it could be said that Masher's persecutory narcissistic mindset have this. They want to reverse this. Mm-hmm. I'm this lone protector of this just really unjust reality, but I'm going to make it a just reality by shooting people or doing whatever I can or this kind of thing. And it's kind of like the anti-hero. You remember Bonnie and Clyde? You know, we kind of, you know, it's not Robin Hood who gives right. the poor. It's Bonnie and Clyde. I take and I take and I, and they end up dead, full of bullets. But it looks good. It's Bonnie and Clyde. You know, right. It's in the movies.
And again, the other part of that is they don't care about the people that get hurt.
Oh, no.
That's the other, no. There's just no feeling there no. at all.
Because they're busy trying to right a wrong that they felt was just mm-hmm. to do that. And of course, it's not. But, and you can have some thought to them that, gee, they must have suffered somewhere in their life that they got hurt here. But where was that person to guide them through that hurt, mm-hmm. to help them see, look, there's another way to handle it, not in a destructive way, but actually in a way that will give you justice.
How is that different from say, a sociopath?
The sociopath is more impulsive, probably would do – well, the sociopath also doesn't follow the rules of society, has their own set of internal right. rules. And so they don't really have necessarily this is just or not just. They just do because they want to do.
It's what they want.
It just has nothing to do
okay.
with rectifying a situation.
Rectifying or justice right. or anything right. like that.
Of course, okay. we feel the many politicians we have in that way. Anyway. Not all. There's some good ones. Right, Aaron? Anyway,
sure.
But they call it the dark triad of personality, narcissism, psychopathology, and a Machiavellian attitude.
Oh, and anyone who's ever read that book knows how it ends.
That's right. That's a real dangerous combination.
So can you, before we leave narcissism, which I'm sure will come back, but the left went crazy when Donald Trump got elected. And so, of course, you know, there were thousands of psychiatrists that all said Donald Trump was a narcissist, blah, 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 and they all diagnosed him. Don't you actually have to meet the person?
It would be a good idea to understand them.
Are you actually allowed as a psychiatrist to watch television and diagnose someone somebody. You've seen from sound bites?
Not from sound bites, but we do have telepsychiatry.
right. No, and that works, but it doesn't happen on – I mean –
Well, see, here the problem.
It doesn't happen when you're
culture,
on a new show.
The problem is you have these video platforms, these internet sharings, and they're just – memes or clicks and this and that, and you really don't understand how a loner or a person suffering is going through. It's kind of an alienated state that he's in, and that just perpetuates the alienation. If you got peers in your classroom talking about you or doing negative things about you or your family, and so this person usually has a social connectivity. In fact, we can get to that later, but
they usually do.
They have a need for a social connectivity, but they deeply mistrust people.
Oh, so they kind of stink at it.
So they,
at the same
they,
time.
Yes, because they've been isolative. People have isolated them because they're kind of odd. And so he doesn't have a real experience in developing social attachments and has a result, you know, ultimately in feeling of being unwanted. So they feel unwanted.
So then –
So
they take it out on other people.
Well, it's interesting.
And no one will miss them if
some of the highest areas of shootings are in schools or at work, because where do they have connection with people? Some connection.
Right.
It's in those areas, but they don't get a full connection. So it's like they're trying to create. You know, humanity has rejected me, and this is my retribution against them, and I'm proving my true worth to the world.
Yeah,
that's what's going on.
Well, the work ones,
and that's the work especially.
That, I mean, that makes sense. You know, you hear that this was the person who got fired from this job, and then they come back and take it out on their coworkers.
Yeah,
that actually is bad, but it makes sense.
Yes,
to us.
Yes,
but
we understand
But go to the mall in the middle of the day, or go to Walmart and just shoot people for no reason,
just randomly.
It's like, what do you get from that?
I know. And the largest shooting, I think, mass shooting was back in 1927. It was a shooting in the school. It was called the Bath School District shooting, 1927.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, 38 kids were killed.
Oh my gosh! They talk about it like it just started happening.
Yeah, six adults, and this guy he blew up. He blew up buildings, and he blew up himself at the end in a car.
Oh wow.
And it turned out that this guy had – be careful the next election. But he had financial difficulties. He had problems with his wife getting along So he did that. And then he also, lost an election. So it's interesting that when you mentioned Trump.
The full implosion.
That the other side of the people who lost the presidential election, the level of maybe narcissistic injury mm-hmm. that they're feeling
right.
is high. So they're left to wonder what to do. And then they point out and say, well, Trump's such a narcissist. You know, they always say that. Right. And then they go on and say, well, maybe. But the issue is if we continue to have this kind of attitude of where we're trying to put down another person to raise ourselves up, you're on unstable ground there.
Right, right.
Because that really puts you into negative territory. I mean, if we look at the idea of anger and revenge, I hope we can get into that a little bit next time too.
Because anger and revenge is a big one.
It's a huge
one. And that's one that you don't have – I mean, obviously, you don't have to be mentally ill to feel anger or revenge.
No.
Those are emotions pretty much everybody knows.
Has.
Right.
And it's some – you know, some people just don't control it.
And they found out that people who – you know, the classic mass murder, three or more victims, some of the FBI has done say it's anger and revenge are the big ones, social alienation, and then they tend to plan – and they and that many of them plan not to survive, so they know it's a termination thing. But then they want to show themselves that they have value, so they will leave something on the internet or leave a message.
Oh, the
or
manifesto. Okay,
exactly. Yeah. Things like this, and you know, they have paranoid traits as well. And there's usually a sense of you know that going on as well. Well,
just because you think they're watching you, or what does that go?
Right, right.
Doesn't mean they aren't.
Yeah, and then they have some categories of proposed classification system for mass murders. There's the school.
Okay, hold on. Well, let's do that all in one piece.
All right.
Take a really quick break. We'll be right back. Can you believe we're almost done with the whole hour? So I told you an hour was not enough. This is a big topic. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got a year. Wow, I feel nice.
That was my ringtone on my phone for a while.
I love it.
But every time it went off,
people would jump.
My mom would scream. But you know, if it goes off in the doctor's office, good. Goes off at church, good. Pretty much everywhere else, funny. I don't know. So
I like it.
Just a helpful hint for anyone who needs more amusement in their life. You could always go with the James Brown ringtone.
There you go.
That's all I've got. I'm like a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Just, you know, in just a different category.
Yes.
I'm gonna practice music therapy.
Music therapy. And I think the clients would really appreciate it.
Actually, people could use it. They could use the distraction. So, okay, you had categories.
Yeah.
Let's do all our categories together.
Okay. This is a classification from Knoll and Marzouk. These are from 2012. There's six. Two are kind of close. School resentful, workplace resentful. They're two separate ones. But school resentful, the victim is usually peers or teachers. They have a relationship. And the motivation for most of these things is resentment and revenge. And so that's the key. And there's usually paranoid cognitions associated with that.
Give me an idea. If you're one of those, right, mm-hmm. is that a – because it seems to me like that would be a long simmering thing.
Yes, it is.
That doesn't seem like a deal that happens like
impulsively.
Your junior year in high school. I mean, right. that's something that's been brewing for a while.
But, God, anybody that's been to school, I mean, kids typically are pretty cruel.
Yeah, you look back, we're all lucky to be alive.
You think of the movie Carrie,
Yeah.
The ultimate revenge, right?
Yeah.
Even from the grave, right?
I mean, but kids get picked on all the time in school. And
you look at some of the, in your mind's eye, you look back at school and you think, wow, could have been a lot nicer to some. I mean, you just...
Right.
As a kid, you don't think about what's going on at somebody else's house because you think it's always like your house.
Right.
And but
how much of the whole bullying thing, I mean, we've made that such a crime that it doesn't really.
As bullies, we're getting ready to get pounded.
It doesn't let kids
all right, let
deal
us have it, John.
It,
Right. I mean, there's a point, I think, where bullying, you need to stand up for yourself. True.
Right.
But then there's also a point where bullying goes way beyond.
Way, way too far.
And that is what causes that resentment. Right. And it's really unkind. And I think if everyone would take a more understanding, kind way of working with everyone, treat people like you want to be treated, golden rule.
They would do what my mom said.
They would do
right?
it.
Right. Yeah, because whenever kids were mean to us, my mom would say, well, you just tell them that's the way God made you. And it's like, that's probably not going to help.
That's a beat
a
down,
lot.
Mom.
I have a feeling that might accelerate things.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom never bullied anybody in her life, obviously.
It depends if it was the Catholic school.
Yeah, she raised five bullies, but she knew nothing about it.
But and then the other was indiscriminate resentful, which is arbitrary. The victim, that's probably the one that could be more sudden and unexplainable. Why is it happening? What's happening? It's not
like,
work-related.
Like if you have a
it's
bad...
not a coworker. It's not a fellow peer that's teased you or passed you for a promotion or didn't give you an A in the class. It's completely non-connected. It's
just kind of comes out of
kind of maybe
it started somewhere else.
Yeah,
and it's, flashpointed.
I mean,
at that.
The Gilroy incident's close to that. Now, some people say he targeted just the Hispanics there, and there was that.
I don't know much.
I don't know if that happened, but he did say something before he went shooting, and he just said, "I'm angry," and so he was just extremely angry.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And that is what's associated with arbitrary.
Okay.
It's just a lot of rage and no way to displace it in a healthy way. But that's another thing is learning how to handle your anger without hurting others.
Right. And that I think that's where in a school setting, I mean, I think that's where you kind of learn mm-hmm. to do that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you said you got to stand up for yourself. I mean,
right.
not There's, always going to turn out perfect, but at least the other kids will know if you pick on that guy, he's.
It's not going to be easy.
It's not going to be easy target.
Well, I would imagine.
But then you don't have to go to the extreme of making everyone a target and shooting people.
Right.
Sure.
Because you have let it go, because you didn't learn some skills either through your family or through the previous abuse you had as a child because, mm-hmm. you were so put down.
Right.
Kicked.
The whole home abuse thing is a real toughie because kids can't.
Right.
Can't straighten that out themselves.
Right. And that's where therapy is important. Going mm-hmm. to get a therapist, getting some help. And if it's to point, like the poor guy in Dayton, he was hearing voices. His girlfriend said he was hearing dark voices that were affecting him. And so as a result, that he was psychotic. And he had a transgender sister who probably got a lot more attention than he did.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure there were a lot of things. And so
how old was he?
He killed her plus nine people in 30 seconds.
That's the one who killed the sister.
And the police killed him very quickly.
How old was he?
He was 24.
Wow.
So that was more of indiscriminate, resentful kind of.
Well, like let's say you're having these problems at school, but then home is great. How much can home mitigate school?
Oh, it can. It can. If you teach, if there's communication about the problem. That's the key. And let me hit these other three points.
Okay.
There's a specific community resentful. So if you are particularly resentful of a Hispanic community or black community or maybe white community, and that is more of an identifiable group, and that's more of the Walmart shooter
mm-hmm.
that came out, how he targeted the Hispanic
population.
And then the pseudo-community psychotic, that's a person who says, they're all against me. And you create this them versus me. And you have these voices, and you don't know who it is, and it's...
And they're telling you to do stuff.
Right, paranoid delusions, right. And then you have the familial depressed, where it's a spouse, ex-spouse, and you become a mass murderer with your own family. That kind. So those are the five or six
categories. The guy they make the TV shows about?
Yes.
Wow. So, those people comprise, I know there's probably not a specific statistic, but...
Yeah, I mean, less than 1% of gun killings in the country, because most of the gun killings, if they're not, you know, gang-related or inner-city violence, things like that, are suicide. Just plain suicide, one person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's, you know...
Can't really make a law about that.
Right.
God tried that, didn't right. work out, so I'm think right. we're probably
but,
not going to...
But I find it interesting that so many of these killings... Like Chicago, mm-hmm. I mean, week in and week out,
yeah.
this goes on, and they take those numbers as mass shootings, but they don't do anything about that.
Right.
They wait until there's a totally unrelated mass shooting someplace, and then they use that to bump their numbers up and say, "We got to do something."
We got to do something because mass shooting is. And the other thing is, they the only thing associated, you know, we talk about video games or with mass shootings. The one thing is not the video games as much, though I do feel video games are have a way that affect people, for sure.
They have to.
And we'll get into that in a moment. But one last thing I want to say is about, related to this is that it's watching the reproduction of TV coverage of the mass shooter has more to do with creating more mass shootings.
Really?
Yes.
So they see that and they think, I could do that.
Yes. They should definitely minimize the shooter. And if they can just say there was a mass shooting, there's victims, but do not mention.
Don't mention the name.
Name of the
Stop
shooter.
Doing wall
and some,
to wall
some of the networks
all day long.
Do that. I noticed a lot of them are trying not to mention the name.
I would not mention the name or identification, mm-hmm. Though it will get out there on the internet now. Everyone can do that. But the point being the media doesn't have to play it over
right.
and over and over
again. That's exactly what they want.
It
takes somebody who's kind of on the edge and keeps pushing them closer.
Right. Because, oh, look, I can have infamy. I can have infamy.
So that's why they happen in little bunches sometimes?
Right.
Literally doing it to ourselves.
Now.
I'm not smart as that.
In the next hour, we'll get into maybe some ideas that are a little more fringy. Yeah,
oh, fine. Good. Next hour is fringy ideas. You know what? We can do whatever we want. Sunday afternoon, thank
All
heavens.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break for capitalism and the news. What a good combination. Right. And we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.